This is Doug Miller. Have you ever noticed that there's a lot of religion out there in the world today? And have you noticed that a lot of it is false? The same was true back in Paul's day. Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time. This side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, privileged, I assure you, to be able to do what we are doing, no matter how simple we may seem and how unassuming I hope we seem. We are privileged to be able to take this word, to speak into this mic, and to know that many people are listening and many lives are being touched and changed, because that's what the Word of God does. God is responsible for using His Word. I am merely responsible for putting it out there. And to that end, I absolutely require and covet your assistance. Please, I say this every time, pray for dialogue. If you have a prayer list, if you daily are praying to the Lord as a believer, and you ought to be, pray for dialogue. Pray that the Lord will expand this ministry and extend it farther out. Pray that I will be given power to speak and the boldness to speak clearly. Pray that the Lord will set a watch on the door of my lips. I don't want to stumble anyone. I don't want to mislead anyone. And I really don't want to hurt anyone. But I do want to tell the truth. And when you tell the truth, I want to tell you something. You hurt some people from time to time. But that's not what I'm trying to do. Pray for me. Pray for dialogue. Pray for this ministry. And, of course, as I always say, we would love to hear from you. Always a joy to hear from our listeners, to know that you're there, to answer any questions that you have, to help you in any way that we can, to provide any materials that we might be able to provide, or just to know that you're out there listening. You might even say, why don't you take up such and such when you're through with Acts? We'll take that into account. We might do it. Write to us, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. We also have an email address if you wish to email us. It's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you put in, and you're online there, Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, .org, you will get our webpage, and you can read about dialogue, and you can pull down broadcasts and listen to them to your heart's content. All of this absolutely without any cost and absolutely without anyone ever contacting you and trying to pry money out of you or what have you. All right, let's see what else I can tell you. Let me give you our phone number if you need to call and talk to someone down here. It is area code 405-535-9089. 535-9089. Let's see, did I give you the mailing address? I always save it right to us, but let me give it to you again. See, my brain's kind of started to calcify on me here in my old age, I think. Our mailing address through snail mail is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Sublett we'll give it out to you again at the end of the broadcast, so keep your writing materials handy. All right, 19th chapter of Acts. We saw Paul the last time. He's in Ephesus, one of the most fruitful periods of his ministry before he went to Rome and went to prison. And, of course, he wrote this gorgeous, beautiful, powerful letter to the Ephesian church, didn't he? And there was a powerful church here in Ephesus. As a result of the ministry of Paul and John and Timothy and some of the others. The last time that we were in here, we saw many people believing in Ephesus. And in verse 19, we have many of these who used curious arts. Here are people who are into, you know, witchcraft and various evil things, fortune-telling and fortune reading and talking to the dead, and what we would call spiritualism. Any of you out there, if you're involved in any of these things, I beg you, I implore you, stop it. You're on very dangerous ground. But look at these. They brought their books together. They burned them. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevail. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Well, I said at the beginning of this broadcast, there's a lot of religion out there in the world. Well, the Jews had their religion, and the Gentiles had their religion. And here was Paul standing sort of in between both parties and managing to offend all of them. Now, let me tell you about the religion of the Gentiles in Ephesus. There were probably, just like Athens, there were probably many gods in Ephesus. I can't imagine that there wouldn't have been. But the main deity in Ephesus was a female goddess, Diana, or as she was known in the Greek, Artemis. And she was to Ephesus what Athena was to Athens. She was the patron goddess. And there was a large temple to Diana in Ephesus. And there were all sorts of people worshiping Diana. Now, it's amazing when you think about the effort that it went to building this large temple. And the effort that it went to worshiping. And you know, there was a lot of money involved. For what? For a god, or in this case, goddess, who was no god at all. Now, some of you out there need to hear this. The truth is the truth is the truth. And to say, and you've heard me say this before, but here it comes again, to say, well, you know, I think the truth is kind of whatever you think it is. If this is truth to you and if you're sincere, then that is, in fact, the truth. Listen, friends, Diana was not a god, was not a goddess. If Diana was anything, Diana was something with demonic and evil and wicked powers behind her, if there was anything going on here at all. But Diana was no god. She was an idol, and that's the truth. And no amount of sincerity from these Ephesians could make it any other way. Now, for you who are listening to me, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Anyone who doesn't come in by the door, said Jesus, but tries to climb up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now that doesn't leave much room. It doesn't leave any room at all for anyone else, does it? Diana was no door. Diana was no way. Diana, and those who were worshiping her were then and are now on their way to the pit. If you are not coming by Jesus Christ and in through that door and bowing the knee to him, particularly after you've had the chance to turn this radio on and listen to me and people like me, there are others presenting the gospel. If you're trying to come some other way, you're in a lot of trouble. And I don't care how much enthusiasm or how deeply felt this religion was that these Ephesians held, these Gentiles. I don't care if they were willing to burn the town down and riot because they thought their goddess was being dishonored. These guys were in darkness and were on their way to a lost eternity. That is the truth of the matter. Let's read about it here. About the same time, about the time that Paul sent Timothy and Erastus over to Macedonia, there arose no small stir about the way. Now, the King James says that way, but the Greek says the way. And, of course, the way, I guess there was a small stir about it. The Jews didn't like it, and now we're going to find out that a lot of the Gentiles didn't like it. It was not a small stir. It was a big one. And what was the stir about? Well, let's take a look at it here. It says here, a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Now, look, these guys are not only, I mean, they say that they believe in Diana, that they are worshiping Diana, but, I mean, this is what's known as doing well by doing good. They are getting quite wealthy, making silver shrines to Diana and selling them. And so Paul is not only hitting them in their religion, he's hitting them in their pocketbook. And if you want to see someone get right in your face real quick, start getting into their bank account. Look at these guys. He says, Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Really? Well, yeah. Paul simply told the truth. Gods made with hands are idols, the works of men's hand. We saw Paul saying this back in Athens in chapter 17. We know exactly, if we've spent any time in this word at all, that God in his commandments to Moses said, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of anything that is in the earth or in the heaven above or the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them nor worship them. This is idolatry, and God is not a God that we see except by faith. And you cannot, I don't care what you're doing or what kind of statue you're putting up or what kind of building you are making or what you are doing, if anyone is bowing the knee to this, and I don't care what excuses you give for it. Oh, really, it's not that they're worshiping that. It's just that this thing here concentrates their attention on the real thing that's behind it. Don't waste my time with that. You're into idolatry, and you had better stop it. I hope that came across clearly enough, because we got a lot of people out there who are involved in these sorts of things. Worshipping images, worshipping certain places, worshipping certain buildings, certain plots of earth. You know, this is where the Lord was born. Build up a church and it's somehow holy, etc., etc. Well, also take note here. Religion, there's always in religion, and I don't care much for religion, You're either worshiping the true, the living God, or you're involved in religion, and religion is a dreadful thing, and leave it at that. You know, someone gets saved and someone says, oh, he got religion. Well, I hope he got more than that, because if he got religion, he's still lost. You come into a relationship with the true, the living God, or you're lost. And here we have these religious men who are making money at their religion and doing well. And it says here that not only is there, and let's pick it up here. Demetrius says in verse 27 that because of Paul's preaching, not only this, our craft is in danger, to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world, and he uses the word for habitable world, oikoumene, all the world worshipeth. Now, which is more important to Demetrius? Well, I can tell you the one he mentions first. These guys are they're destroying our craft. I mean, we're making money here. And this guy, Paul, is threatening our craft. That's the first one he mentions. And then he gets around to his God. And either way, the man's in a world of confusion. But he's persuasive, isn't he? Yeah. Religion is a terrible thing, and when you have people that are committed to religion, even if it's a false religion, they'll come after you real quick. Right now, today, we have got people all over this world involved in false religion, and they are at war and killing one another and killing those who disagree with them. And killing those who do anything to denigrate their false religion, and they will kill you real quick. And it's never been any different. Now, this is right out of the pit. This is the devil, pure and simple. And look at these guys. When they, in verse 28, heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Now this theater, it's still standing in the ruins of Ephesus there. It is a magnificent place, really. You can just imagine what it must have been back in this day. It's sort of the center of attention. It's right there at the harbor, right where the road came up from the harbor. And as you walked from the harbor up into the city, you ran right into this temple. A beautiful, magnificent thing. And here they are, the whole city is in confusion. And they've got a couple of Paul's buddies here, a couple of Christians, and they're in the theater, and we've got a riot on our hands, notice. When Paul would have entered under the people, the disciples suffered him not. I think that was a good move. Probably saved his life. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Well, I guess not. I guess that's kind of how riots work. If you see something like this going on and mob mentality gets going, it is not at all strange to find that a good number of the people there wouldn't have any idea at all what's happening. You give over yourself to the mob, and they start calling the shots, and they are out here yelling, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," and probably don't even know why they're yelling it. And we've got here that they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Well, there's an interesting little mantra. For 2 hours, they're out here. Now, you put anything you want into it. On strike, burn it down. On strike, burn it down. I mean, you've seen these things going before. You've seen people on TV. I saw some people the other day, some kids down on, you know, demonstrating about Wall Street, and they were chanting sayings here, and I guess it was important to them. But I'll guarantee you that most of them hadn't really thought about what they were doing at all. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper, a temple keeper is the word he uses, of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Yeah, everyone knows that. Fortunately, I wasn't back there then. I would have had to have pled ignorance. I didn't know it, but I mean, that's what everyone knows that he says. And seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, well, okay, once again, I don't mind speaking against them, but he's, "Ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches or temples, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies, let them implead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. So, you know, in any crazy gathering like this, in any riot or riotous situation, I guess there's always an individual who keeps his head, or a handful, and he manages to calm them down. And he says, it's kind of interesting here, "These men are not blasphemers of your God. They haven't done anything. I mean, if Demetrius has something against them, let him take them to court. We have courts. We have laws and rules. Otherwise, you know, come on. Calm down. We are you're about to all get into trouble, because, you know, if the legal authorities are called into this, a bunch of folks are going to jail over this, and you don't want that, so why don't you just go home and let it pass?" And fortunately, they do. No one, so far as the record here shows, is killed. No one is beaten up. And Paul had been beaten up before, but he wasn't here. And everything quietens down, and they go on their way. But now look at this. Right now, even as I speak, we have riots going on over in the Middle East because people over there think that some American soldiers did some things defamatory to their religion. Well, that's how religion is. It will never be any different. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue. Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.